Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Open the eyes of our understanding and prepare our hearts by the power of your Spirit, that we may receive your word with much joy and rejoicing. And may we leave today having a deeper understanding of who you are. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Luke. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And now our Phrygian sister will now read the same scripture.
Ia ke waka e na lako mai kokoia e na karua ni wasi ni mbongi, se lako mai e na katolu, ka kune ira ni rasai andatiko, era sa kalungata na tamata ongori. Ia ndo kila nga ongo, ke waka e kila na itauke ni vale ni natiki ni mbongi e na lako mai kina na nda umbutako, sa waka tawa nga, ka senga ni laiva na nona vale, mera wa mbasuki. Ia ndo wakarautu wakarau Wakakina koi ke mundo talanga ni salako mai na lube ni tamata e na tiki ni singa do sa senga ni na numa kina. Sanga wil rano nando le soni ke na tamanda kala malang ni wakalonga ta.
Last week, the scripture passage was from Colossians. Remember? It was the letter from Paul to a small church in Colossae, written a couple generations after Jesus had died, was resurrected, and ascended, and the people were waiting for Jesus to return, just like we are, waiting for Jesus to return. But a couple generations had gone by, he didn't come back as quickly as they had thought that he would, and their theology and belief system was starting to sway a little bit They were starting to hear other kinds of theologies that were interesting to them, and they were veering off the path, right? Remember, Gnosticism was something they were flirting with. So Paul had to write them a letter and say, listen, you've got to get back on the path. God is faithful with you. You must remain faithful to God. And that this is what you have to do and keep on the path. And that's what he said to them. This passage in Luke was probably written around the same time. The Gospels were written a good 2, maybe 3 generations after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. So each of the Gospels is written to a specific audience or with a specific audience in mind, but they're all pretty much writing from a certain point of view. Luke is writing to his small, maybe not so small, burgeoning community, right? A new community of Christ followers, the Way. He's writing to them after time has gone by. They too would have been expecting Jesus to come back much more quickly. And they too are wondering what's going on. It's been a couple generations now. Luke's tone is a little different than Paul's in the letter to the Colossians, because here he's addressing their fears in this passage. Fear not, little flock. So beautiful, right? Little flock. It's so endearing and so comforting. He has just had Jesus, and not to say that Jesus never said these things. You understand, right? But Luke is gearing the story in a certain way. You can do that if you're talented enough. I can't. But you can tell a story so that it emphasizes certain points. So Luke is telling this story to this small church. I keep saying small. It's probably not that small. This growing church. It's a growing church. Fear not, little flock. Maybe that's where I'm getting the small from. Just prior to this, Jesus is preaching about, you remember those passages where the birds and the air don't need to worry about where their next meal is coming from. The flowers in the fields, they don't need to worry about what they're wearing. He's telling them, don't worry, don't worry. God is faithful. God will take care of you. He's telling them all of this, and he's telling them again here, fear not, little flock, because he knows that they're afraid. Like maybe we're afraid in the world. He goes on to tell them to give money, give alms to the poor. Sell your possessions, give alms. But it's important to remember, he's not telling them to do those things so that they will get the kingdom, because he's talking about God's kingdom here, right? The kingdom will come like a thief in the night, he says. Be prepared, be prepared. Be ready, be aware, be conscious, be focused. But he's not telling them to be prepared so they're so focused on making these preparations that they miss the boat. He's telling them these preparations that they have to, that he's giving them to take, to be prepared, are because God has already said the kingdom is yours. God has made the delightful decision to give you the kingdom, to give us the kingdom. We don't have to do anything to earn it. It's already ours. Giving alms, selling possessions, is a response. We respond to God's love for us by sharing that love with those around us. John Wesley, remember John Wesley? You remember he had that disastrous mission trip to the colonies. I was going to say to the U.S., it wasn't the colonies. Disastrous. Run out of town, had to return to England. Luckily, he made friends with a bunch of Moravians, especially Peter Bowler. I've told you this story before. Wesley wasn't feeling this assurance of God's love for him. I'm doing all the things. I'm going to prisons and I'm reading the Bible and I'm sharing the Bible with my friends and I'm going to church and I'm taking the sacraments, but I don't feel that God loves me. I'm doing all these things. And Peter Bowler tells him, you have to keep preaching it until you feel it. Because it's a response. You keep on doing this, then it becomes rote, and then it becomes saturated in us. And it becomes, that's how we act. And when we then we get it, and then you see me doing it, Adela, and you think, well, he seems pretty happy. He's got a, you know, maybe I should try some of that stuff. So maybe you try it. And then you're starting to do better. You're starting to feel better. You're more uplifted. You're kinder. And then Elaine watches, and Elaine says, I'm going to try some of that stuff. And then Gwen sees, and Audrey sees, and Jim sees, and Judy sees, and Richard sees, and Dave sees, and Sally sees. And suddenly, this community is starting to build. That community is the kingdom. That's the kingdom that God is talking, that Jesus is talking about here. We live, I don't know if you've noticed this, in a very individualistic society. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Right? Constantly telling you have to look out for yourself because nobody else is going to look out for you. But that's not what they're saying here. That's not what Jesus is saying. Sell all of your possessions and give alms to the poor. God has already decided to give you the kingdom. He's already given you the kingdom. All we have to do is take it. It's right there. My hand is here. The kingdom is there. I can see it. I know it's there. I just have to start living into it. We just have to start living into it. We just have to start building this community by taking care of each other, by loving each other, by showing each other that God loves us, that God loves them. And then we slowly change. We change ourselves. We change this community. Then we change the world outside. That's how it happens. And then at the end, how beautiful is this? But know this. Oh, yeah, here it is. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. That's the meal. There it is. It's right there. The communion meal signifies three things. We remember, we share it here and now, and then we look forward to the heavenly banquet, right? The heavenly banquet brought down here for us when we live in the kingdom, when we're this blessed community, when we're all beloveds. And the meal is right there. Every week, we're reminded that it's right there, open to anybody, right within our grasp. Be not afraid, little flock. The kingdom is at hand. Amen.